Springbok Radio proudly presents Tales from the Seven Seas. Stories specially written for this series by Annette McKenzie and Jack Mullen, and introduced by Hamish McLeod.
Encounters something beyond his knowledge, he attempts to rationalize it. He tries to find a place for it within the limits of his experience and within the bounds of nature. If he doesn't succeed, then he labels it supernatural and goes no further. There are many things which man cannot understand, many things which he will never understand. Tonight I want to tell you a disturbing tale. It's disturbing because the questions it poses have no rational answers. It happened in the year 1876 when Captain Nathan Hallett of the schooner Chloe had put in at Pernambuco on the way around Cape Horn. As was customary, Captain Hallett walked into the town to report to the British consul while the Chloe was berthed in the harbour. He had not gone far when he encountered a stranger. A most mysterious stranger, as it turned out. I call the story Destination Valparaiso.
Good morning, sir.
Might I have a word or two?
Good morning. Do I know you, sir?
I don't think you do, Captain Hallett.
Will you know my name?
Captain Nathan Hallett of the schooner Chloe, is it not? You docked this morning. You are the master of the Chloe?
I am.
Bound for Valparaiso, I understand.
Well, you have a reliable informant, Mr.
Gaunt. Nicholas Gaunt.
Oh. Pleased to make your acquaintance, Mr. Gaunt. And how can I help you, sir?
I wish to go to Valparaiso.
Well, I'm not carrying passengers, sir, and I'm not sure...
I do not wish to be a passenger, Captain Hallett, and even if I did, I lack the financial resources necessary to become one. I come to ask whether you will sign me on as a member of your crew.
You mean to work your passage, Mr. Gaunt?
I must get to Valparaiso. It is important to me. It is, in fact, vital. A matter of life and death. I have no fear of work.
Well, it's true that I'm short of a couple of hands.
I know that, Captain Hallett.
Do you indeed?
Well, then, is it arranged? You seek men, I'm available and eager.
Oh, it's not as simple as that, Mr. Gaunt. My ship has no need of an educated man. I have no place for a scholar, and you sound like one, sir.
I am accomplished in many fields of endeavor, Captain Hallett.
Why do you require experience, sailors?
Oh, I am experienced. I am indeed experienced.
You've served on a ship before, then?
I have.
As a member of the crew?
Precisely that.
From your manner of speaking, I find that difficult to believe.
Many things are difficult to believe. It is sometimes difficult to know what is real and what is not.
Ooh. Philosophy, too, Mr. Gaunt?
It is of no importance. I am prone to abstract speculation, perhaps because life takes curious turnings. Mine has done. It interests me. I was once invited, shall I say, to learn the ways of the sea and a ship, and so, despite appearances to the contrary, I am suited to join your crew, Captain Hallett.
Very well. I shall take you at your word. There will be ample opportunity for you to prove the truth of your assertion. I am a hard taskmaster, Mr. Gaunt, and I have no slugger to board.
You will find me industrious, sir.
Or we shall see. In one way or another, you'll be able to make yourself useful on the Chloe. Well, I'm on my way to the consul's office, sir. Come with me, and I'll sign you on there. Well, here you are, Mr. Gaunt. the articles. If you'll just sign your name here at the bottom. There's a pen and ink beside you on the desk.
Thank you.
Well, that's it. Once it's done, you're a member of the ship's company, bound for Valparaiso.
A pleasing prospect. There. The contract sealed.
Nicholas Gaunt.
There is something the matter, Captain Hallett.
What? Oh, no, no. But you have a curious manner of signing your name. The initials printed and the rest written in a most strange fashion.
I fear my handwriting is no longer a credit to my tutor. Although the blame cannot be placed at his door. An accident, Captain Hallett. Frostbite.
Frostbite?
Yes, it happened in the Arctic region. I was stranded in a snowstorm.
Good heavens.
By a fortunate quirk of fate, I was rescued. Half dead from frostbite and exposure. The physician saved my life, but I fear were unable to revitalize the fingers of my right hand.
Well, I wondered about that glove you wear.
Most people do. I have, of course, been obliged to write with my left hand since that time.
I see. Well, what work were you engaged on in the frozen reaches of the Arctic?
Work? I was on a ship. The voyage was a surprising one. Most surprising.
Well, I prefer the hotter climes myself. I wouldn't choose a voyage to the Arctic.
Now, there are times when one is robbed of choice. One can find oneself in circumstances beyond one's control.
Yes, quite. Now then, we won't be sailing for another day or two. You can spend the time ashore or come aboard.
No,
as you wish.
I would rather be aboard, but I would then already be a little nearer my goal, my destination, Valparaiso.
Captain Hallett was hard put to understand the new member of his crew. Nicholas Gaunt was indeed a strange acquisition. He had the manners and bearing of an aristocrat, and there was a curious air of mystery around him. He never spoke of his background or his past life. All that was known was his name and the fact that he seemed entirely possessed with the urgency of reaching Valparaiso. Although handicapped by his useless right hand, he worked with an almost feverish will, as though hoping by his efforts to drive the schooner even faster towards its destination. Oddly enough, he was exceedingly popular with the other members of the crew. He settled their arguments and answered their questions on any subject other than himself. His store of knowledge seemed inexhaustible, and this only served to intensify the enigmatic aura which surrounded him.
Good following wind coming up. Shall stretch if we make full sail. Give the order, Mr. Lang.
Aye, sir.
Make full sail! Make full sail! All hands aloft!
Well, let's hope this weather holds. We still have the horn to round, remember?
I don't think I could forget that, sir.
Still, she's a prim craft and handles well. I'm happy with the crew. They're a stout bunch.
Yes, sir.
What do you make of Nicholas Gaunt, Mr. Lang?
As little as anyone else, sir. Very popular fellow, though.
Seems so, yet I can't for the life of me figure out what he's doing, working his passage, or why this frenzy to reach Valparaiso.
It's certainly very curious, sir.
And it becomes more so by the day. Oh, he knows his way around the ship, there's no question about that. How does it tie in with his education, for one thing? And quite clearly not an ordinary seaman.
Did you know, sir, he speaks six languages fluently, and maybe more than six.
Curious,
even that came out accidentally.
How?
Well, the crew were using foreign phrases they picked up on their travels. Gaunt was able to settle arguments on pronunciation and supply missing words. It was uncanny the way he spoke, as if each language were his native tongue.
Accomplished in many fields of endeavor.
What's that, sir?
Oh, just something Gaunt said. Seems to be true, too.
And he's so secretive, sir.
Well, I suppose every man has the right to privacy, to have his own secrets. but it would give me a great deal of satisfaction to know his history.
There's little chance of that, sir, if Nicholas Gaunt continues as he is. He's as cautious as a cat, and as tight-lipped as a tomb.
Cape Horn lives up to its reputation, Mr. Lang. The weather is as evil-tempered as ever.
Aye, sir. The wind rips at the sail like knives of ice.
What? Aren't they all reefed? I ordered them reefed, Mr. Lang.
And your orders are carried out, sir. But the sheet on the fore topsail's coming down, sir.
Well, this gale will carry to strength, Mr. Lang. Order a man aloft.
Aye, aye, sir.
And get the weather rail rigged, or we'll have half the crew washed overboard.
Aye, aye, sir.
You, quickly, get aloft and secure the fore topsail. See if it's bound fast.
Aye, aye, sir.
I'll take the weather rail from the taffrail, Mr. Lang. Along the deck to the deckhouse.
Aye, aye, sir.
Quickly, bring the weather line. From the taffrail, from the taffrail.
Aye, aye, sir.
The hatches, Mr. Lang. Are they battened?
Yes, sir. All battened.
What the devil was that?
I don't know, sir. It's nigh impossible to see beyond arm's length in this spray and storm. Mickey, the sailor who was aloft, he's fallen.
What? Oh, quickly, get someone to him.
Already surrounded, sir.
Captain is dead, sir. Broke his neck, he did. So dead,
sir. Who was it? Who fell from the fore topsail yard?
Gone, sir. Nicholas gone. He's dead, sir.
I, the man who had been blown from his perilous perch by the fierce gale at Cape Horn, was none other than the mysterious Nicholas Gaunt. The man whose past was a locked secret, now, seemingly, never to be opened. When the Chloe had successfully navigated to Horn, and the weather was once again calm, the entire crew assembled on deck, and Captain Hallett conducted a simple burial service for the dead man. He extemporized a few brief prayers over the corpse of Nicholas Gaunt as it lay sewn in its canvas shroud, weighted with lead. At the final word, consigning the body to the deep, the pinewood plank was tilted over the side of the ship, and its somber parcel slid gently off, breaking the water with a cold, eerie splash. The mortal remains of Nicholas Gaunt dropped beneath the waves to the silence of a watery tomb.
Right, Mr. Lang.
Very good, sir.
All right then, you man. Don't stand around with long faces. We have a ship to sail. Back to your duties.
A burial at sea is never a pleasant occasion, Mr. Lang.
No, sir, it isn't.
And it's as well to forget it as quickly as possible.
Yes, sir.
Well, fortunately, we have a fresh breeze running. The men will be kept busy and not have time to dwell on death. Hey, Mr. Lang?
Yes, sir. Very true, sir. Poor Gaunt. We'll never know now, will we? Curious fellow, poor Gaunt.
He brought a mystery with him and left it loose.
I wonder who he really was.
Well, it's odd that you should say that, Mr. Lang.
Odd, sir?
Well, it's almost exactly what I wrote in my entry in the log for the 11th of September. A seaman was today killed by falling from the fore topsail yard. His name was Nicholas Gaunt. But I am left wondering who he really was. Oh, words to that effect.
Well, whoever he was, he didn't reach his objective, sir. He never reached Valparaiso, did he?
No, Mr. Lang, he didn't. Unfortunate fellow.
The remainder of the voyage to Valparaiso was uneventful. The weather was favorable, and the Chloe made good progress. In fact, the only black spot on the whole voyage had been the tragic death of Nicholas Gaunt, on the 11th of September. Among his few personal effects, there was nothing which threw any light on his past. Nothing except a piece of paper with one word written in Gaunt's curious handwriting. The word, morning weather. Captain Hallett slipped a piece of paper into his pocket before he went ashore at Valparaiso with his first officer, Mr. Lang.
Come in.
Good morning. I'm looking for Mr. Fraser, the British consul.
Well, then cease looking. You found him. Come in.
Thank you.
Please sit down. Captain Hallett of the Chloe, isn't it?
Quite right, sir. How do you do?
Welcome to Valparaiso, Captain Hallett. I heard you docked early this morning. Welcome.
Well, thank you, sir. May I present my first officer, Mr. Arnold Lang?
How do you do, Mr. Lang?
Well, thank you, sir.
Do sit down, gentlemen. Do sit down.
Thank you, sir.
I trust, Captain Hallett, that you had a pleasant voyage.
Well, it was a fair voyage, sir. With one misfortune.
Oh?
Yes. One of my crew fell to his death.
Oh. I'm sorry to hear that. How did such a thing happen?
Well, it's not unknown on ships, of course. A man may easily lose his footing while up in the yards among the shrouds.
Yes, of course.
It was when we were rounding the Horn. There was a fierce gale blowing. We'd reefed every square inch of sail, but the wind had loosened our foretopsail. We sent a man aloft to secure it. He slipped and fell to the deck. Oh, dear. It cast a shadow over the rest of the trip, of course, because the dead man, Nicholas Gaunt, his name was very popular. Strange fellow.
What name did you say, Captain Hallett?
Gaunt. Nicholas Gaunt.
What a curious coincidence. There's been rather a to-do here recently over a fellow of that name.
I beg your pardon, sir?
Oh, quite a to-do, in fact.
Indeed, Mr. Fraser?
Yes. It all started when a man called Nicholas Gaunt was admitted to the infirmary here on the morning of the 11th of September. In fact, I have his committal papers right here, signed.
Signed? May I see that, Mr. Fraser?
Certainly. Curious coincidence in the name, though, isn't it?
Grimms. The signature. It's the very same as the signature on the articles Nicholas Gaunt signed in my presence when he joined my ship at Pernambuco. Oh, but that's impossible. This document is dated the 11th of September. Well, we were at sea, near Cape Horn.
It can't be the same signature, can it?
It is. Nicholas Gaunt signed in a peculiar manner. Precisely as it appears on this paper, Mr. Fraser. Precisely.
I hardly think it's possible that it's the same man, Captain Hallett. Especially when the man named in this paper killed himself.
What did you say, sir?
It's rather a sad, tragic story, really. We wouldn't know of it but for the fact that this Nicholas Gaunt left a letter. It's with the police authorities. As I said, he was committed to the hospital on the morning of the 11th of September. But he disappeared a few hours later.
Disappeared, Mr. Fraser?
Oh, not for long. He was found, or rather, his body was found that night in the home of one of Valparaiso's most wealthy men. Gaunt had shot him dead.
Oh.
And then turned the pistol on himself. The letter was found in Gaunt's pocket.
Oh. The 11th of September?
Of course, he may just have been mad, although the letter had a ring of truth. Am I boring you with this?
Not at all. I would like to know. What did the letter say?
The man Gaunt killed was called Hilton. Edmund Hilton, extremely wealthy. This fellow Gaunt claimed to be Hilton's half-brother. Further claimed that Hilton had tried to dispose of him so as to inherit the vast estates here after their mother died.
Dispose of him?
Yes. By having him shanghaied on a ship bound for the Arctic regions.
And this Gaunt, did he have something wrong with his right hand?
Yes, he did.
Then it is the same man. It is Nicholas Gaunt.
Oh, come now, Captain Hallett. You say your Nicholas Gaunt died at sea. My Nicholas Gaunt died at the Hilton Estate, morning weather.
Morning weather.
The name of the place.
Oh. Well, that's what it says here on this paper. Morning weather. I found this among Gaunt's effects after his body had been slipped over the side.
You mean to say he wasn't dead when we buried him at sea? That he managed to get here to revenge himself on Hilton? It hardly seems possible.
Oh, no, Mr. Lang, quite impossible. Mr. Fraser, your Nicholas Gaunt was found dead on the night of the 11th of September. Isn't that so?
Yes.
Well, sir, he fell to his death on my ship that very morning.
But how do you explain it, Captain Howard?
Oh, I don't know, Mr. Lang. I can't attempt to understand. Never mind, explain it. Perhaps Nicholas Gaunt's desire for revenge, well, embodied itself in some tangible form, in Gaunt's own likeness. Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
So, he did get to Valparaiso, after all.
The impossible, the irrational, the paranormal, the unknown. I told you the story raised unanswerable questions, didn't I? Nicholas Gaunt was drowned at sea, yet that same Nicholas Gaunt, or a shade of Nicholas Gaunt, had wreaked the ultimate revenge and then destroyed himself. Or should I say, itself. And yet, how could such a thing have happened in reality? Well, I can only repeat that there are many, many things which man will never be able to comprehend. And as for being possible, wasn't it the Latin poet Tertullian who said, "It is certain because it is impossible"?
You've been listening to Tales from the Seven Seas, written by Annette McKenzie and Jack Mullen. Listen next week at the same time to another enthralling story of the sea, produced by Andre Botner.